Welcome back to another episode of Well, It Depends. I'm your host, Derek Doyle, and this is Andrew Barron. In today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about long-term care.
The information in this episode is current as of the date recorded and is not intended as financial, tax, or legal advice. You should consult your tax, financial, and/or legal advisors before implementing any transactions and/or strategies concerning your finances.
So, for many retirees, they assume Medicare will cover most of their healthcare costs in retirement. While this is generally true for routine medical costs, long-term care is a very different story. Long-term care can include nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and extended in-home care. These services are not fully covered by Medicare, so these costs can add up quickly and often can range anywhere between $50,000 to $150,000 per year, depending on the level of care that is needed. One of the topics that we're going to talk about is why these numbers are very hard to budget for. We've seen in 2026 costs across different care settings. The national average has jumped to $75,000 a year for assisted living. Why? A lot of this has to do with rising labor costs plus just general inflation. In your experience, Andrew, what have you seen when it comes to the bill for different types of care? So we're talking in-home versus assisted living versus nursing home.
Yes, well, I mean, there's a huge range, and part of it depends on how involved you want your family to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, often a well-to-do spouse may help, a capable-bodied spouse, rather, is able to, first line of defense will try and step in. Then you obviously have kids, neighbors, friends that may also do some level of care, especially those early days, if it's not too significant. It really depends on if you cross over into skilled nursing or something like that, where you have medicine requirements that you really do want a medical professional involved.
Yep.
Or obviously the next level would be memory care. Yep. So there's obviously a huge range for that. With memory care, $30,000 a month, I wouldn't be surprised, depending on how much true care someone needs, all the way down to maybe $5,000-$6,000 for assisted living, which is just someone maybe on site, available with a button touch or something like that.
Yeah. And once again, national average is $75,000 a year. And we live in the state of New York, and New York's one of the more expensive states. So it is very state specific on where those price levels are going to range and for which kind of level of care that might be required. So kind of that leads us to the next topic is, how do we pay for a service like this? So there really is two main methods that you can handle it with, is one being insurance. And insurance covers both standalone long-term care insurance, which we'll get into why those policies are not really around or not really recommended anymore. Life insurance with a long-term care rider, which we call hybrid life insurance. Mm-hmm. Self-insuring, which is also just paying for it by yourself, or maybe a mix of both insurance and your own funds. And last but not least, Medicaid. So let's dive into one of the first topics in that and dissect it a little bit. For someone considering long-term care insurance today, what has changed about those traditional policies compared to 10, 15, 20 years ago? We've seen clients a lot older have them, but very little people nowadays have the traditional standalone policies.
Yes. So when they were sold, let's say 20, 30 years ago, the insurance industry didn't really expect the medical claims and the costs that we're actually seeing today. And we have seen very, very high premiums. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the big things about these policies is that you never know what next year's premium costs are going to be. These companies go to the state and request increases, and the state either denies it or approves it, or approves it at a lower level than they requested, but still an increase. And that does impact what people can afford long term, especially as these policies get sometimes cost prohibitively expensive in your 80s, which is when you think you might need that care. In counteracting that, the industry has done a job of coupling that with life insurance policies kind of as a hybrid product, because actuaries are pretty good about predicting when you die. So coupling that, they are more expensive up front, so you have to factor that in, but it is a cost that we can predict linearly. We know what we're signing day one, rather than an unknown cost.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what the state of insurance is. And then obviously there's things like self-pay.
Yeah. And one of the things that you were hinting on in the last topic was self-insuring also can include family care. What I mean, what you were hinting about that is oftentimes we see is a son or a daughter, they step in and help their parents through some of those early phases before it might get to a point where they're not equipped to service that level of care anymore. You actually do need to go to a nursing home or something like that. So self-insuring can mean help from family members, and that could eat up some of the costs. And one of the things that in this article that I was reading that hinted, that was talking about the increase of the 2026 average, was when it comes to planning for these things, one of the key facts in there was that 50% of claims made for long-term care insurance last less than a year.
Oh, yeah.
And if
that's because men tend to only live about 9 months.
Yes. So you pay all these insurance premiums, and then when you finally go to collect and claim on it, you run the risk of, you might not even get a full year out of the claims that you've been spending your premiums on for however many years.
Yes.
And another stat that was in that same article was, if a claim does last longer than a year, the average is roughly 3 years that you're going to be in that bed. You do have this weird caveat when you're coming to picking a way to pay for it, is, am I going to run the risk of possibly when I claim insurance, it not be so short that it's might maybe not worth it? Or am I going to be one of those people that maybe is in a bed for much longer than maybe I had planned for, you know?
Well, obviously it isn't true across the board, but really is gender-based, right? Men tend to die earlier. 9 months is the average stay. So that's exactly what we're talking about, less than a year. Yeah. And women are much more likely to be around for years, plural. Once again, I think that is a compounding thing where if you lost your husband first and you're just an old woman, but you just might be able to do less, so you need that extra level of care because you're alone. So you're not necessarily sick the way we think about people being sick.
Yeah. And I, as we roll into the next topic, we'll talk about it a little bit, but a lot of people assume and think that Medicaid is just going to cover everything. But as you start looking into it or just doing basic Google searches, you begin to realize that Medicaid is a resource-based program where if you do have assets, you're not going to be able to qualify. And it is state dependent. So obviously we're in the state of New York, but if you're in a different state, there's different qualifications for Medicaid. But generally across the board, you are never specifically planning to qualify for Medicaid unless that is a specific goal of yours where it's like, I want to make sure that.
Well, not for our clients.
Not for our clients. But even with our clients, and some other people, it is usually never recommended to be, that's your solution, let's just get you to qualify to Medicaid. More than likely, a true plan would have steps in it where it's like, we're going to try to pay for it on our own or go through some insurance thing, you know, because I think a lot of people think Medicaid is going to be great, but do you really want to get, you know, shipped to some location that might be hours away from family just for your last, you know, dying days? And does your family even want that for yourself, even though you might want it? It's more of a, I think, an emotional conversation sometimes than it is a monetary one. So that kind of leads into why this is often overlooked in retirement. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that there is no typical long-term care case, meaning there's some people who might show physical signs of decline and some might show mental, some might show both. We talked about self-insuring. So I think a good question to ask you is there a certain investable asset level or net worth that should self-insuring people look at towards as I am going to self-insure? Or is there a level where it's like, maybe I should start looking at a long-term care insurance rider with a life insurance policy? Is there a level where it's like, I should self-insure versus look for insurance?
I don't think it's actually net worth based as much as it's what you expect your last days to really look like. And it's kind of what you were saying, there's no perfect way, there's no crystal ball, but you can look genetically, right?
Yeah.
It's where did your parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, about how long did they live? The baby boomer generation right now should outlive the longest of their ancestors by 5 years. So if you had mother, father, aunt, uncle, something that lived to 90, that's put you at 95. So that kind of gives you an idea. And then exactly what kind of care did they need? Were they healthy and then one day they stroked out and they need almost no care? Or did they suffer from dementia for a long, long time and needed quite a bit care?
Yeah.
Those are the types of things that would follow. And then you could try and map off of that. Obviously, the insurance thing would be, it's a hedge, assuming you have long costs. We don't really know. And obviously, 50% of people go quickly and 50% of people go long term. So you're just hedging that. That said, if you have $10 million plus dollars where your portfolio can spit out hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million a year, you're probably pretty insulated.
Yeah. And also, it's like a spending issue too, because you could have someone who has a net worth of $2 million and lives off of Social Security, versus you could have someone who has a net worth of $1 million and maybe is spending, you know, $100,000 a year towards the end of their life. So it really depends on how much you are spending and budgeting into. Are we going to now need to increase that yearly spend 50% to cover long-term care costs? Are we going to need to increase it 25%? You know, it really depends on your spending level in retirement.
And don't forget, you're not doing anything else either. Yeah. All that travel goes away and all those things like that. So it's important to budget for, and don't get me wrong, the end of life can be incredibly expensive, but we also tend to measure that in months, not years. Obviously, that isn't true for everyone, but for a bulk of people, it's rare to see people 3, 4, 5, 6 years in these facilities.
And the last question on this overall topic for the podcast, I think, is a good one, because we always talk about, when it comes to financial planning, we look at the household. So that includes two people, your spouse. If a client has a spouse, how does that kind of change the calculus into planning for this? How does planning for possibly two levels of care and possibly two certain different types of care factor into a planning aspect when you're talking about long-term care?
Ironically, it makes me want to make sure we hit the bucket list things in retirement. We get those off earlier in retirement rather than someone that's alone, because we have two people, the likelihood of someone having something happen to them goes up by double just because we have two cases. So sometimes it's accidental, sometimes it's a sickness, but in either case, there's a strong likelihood one of you goes down, even if it isn't permanent, but a disruptive period of retirement.
Yeah. So that's it for today, folks. Thank you guys for watching, and stay tuned for more episodes. I am your host, Derek Doyle.
And I'm Andrew Barron.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for watching. If you found this video helpful, give it a thumbs up and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss future updates. Looking for more insights like this? Head over to our website at jgua.com for additional resources. And if you'd like to talk about your personal financial goals, we'd love to help. Just click the Schedule a Meeting button highlighted on your screen to book your complimentary consultation. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you in the next video.